From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. A soccer game has broken out on a frozen school playground in Newark, New Jersey. The kids are competing hard. Their blood is pumping. They breathe heavily. Right now, they think their biggest problem is scoring a goal. But actually, a much bigger problem is the air they're breathing. Because right next to this field, separated by a chain-link fence, there's this. A steady stream of heavy trucks. Delivery trucks, container trucks, garbage trucks, you name it. The scent of smoky diesel fuel hangs in the air. The pollution from all that traffic is especially dangerous to kids because research suggests it can stunt lung growth, cause learning problems, heart disease, and raise the risk of cancer. The Center for Public Integrity, a nonprofit newsroom, partnered with us to find out how many kids are going to schools where they're exposed to these toxic fumes. We mapped out every public school in the country and found that 1 in 11 are within 500 feet of a heavily trafficked road. Now, that pollution spreads into classrooms of nearly 4.5 million kids. For a deeper look, Reveal's Fernanda Camarena takes us to Newark, New Jersey, in the working-class neighborhood of Ironbound.
The final bell rang about a half hour ago at the Hawkins Street School. And now, fourth and fifth graders meet in an after-school program.
Everyone line up.
Wooden desks and chairs are pushed to the side. Everyone stands. Today, they flip the lyrics on a popular hip-hop song to give it an educational message.
Now watch me write. Hey. Now watch me read it.
Right.
Now watch me build my vocabulary.
Hey.
Now watch me write.
Hey.
Now watch me read it.
Hey.
Now watch me build my vocabulary.
Hey. Hey.
Clap it up, clap it up.
Clap it up, clap it up, clap it up.
Thank you, people. Peace out. Thank you.
Look, we have company, right? We have a guest. So we're going to be on our best behavior. Show them our
That's Tamika Bowers, one of the volunteers in the after-school program. She's 42 with short, dark hair and boundless energy. Her son Tayan is 10 years old and in fourth grade. When the program's over, we walk across the street to the public housing complex where Tamika and her son live. As soon as we open the door, the aroma of dinner greets me.
I made pork chops.
You made pork chops?
I fried them. I did macaroni and cheese and some collard greens.
And
nice and
also, I always be eating meat first.
And they love it. They love it. I gotta keep the kids happy. I don't do fast food.
Tamika is a single mom of two. But no matter how hard she tries to give Tayan and his brother a good life, she can't fix one thing. Nearly 600 trucks rumble past the school and their apartment complex every day.
Every time you turn around, you're getting sick. You can't breathe down here. You got to keep your windows closed because other than that, the films, all the bad smells coming in here, it's too much.
A couple of years ago, Tayan had a serious scare.
I'm looking at his face and I'm looking at his chest, how his chest was moving. And I see he was fighting to breathe. And I'm like, wait, that like to me, like asthma attack. We going to the hospital.
Tayan was diagnosed with asthma. Now he takes steroids and uses an in-home air purifier. Tamika flips a switch on a white box connected to a tube and holds it under Tayan's nose. Fresh air pours out.
Years ago, you used to be able to open your windows and feel the same way. But not right now. Y'all need some fresh air?
Yeah, I need it right now.
How'd you feel?
Sound better.
This purifier releases clean air not found outside. He uses it about 4 times a week.
Well, the way I breathe, it just feels uncomfortable sometimes. You just feel like a struggle, just struggling a lot on this line that's supposed to be easy. I wish I could breathe a lot more better.
A lot of things can trigger asthma. Air pollution is just one cause. Professor Ed Abel studies air quality and respiratory function at the University of Southern California.
So the studies that we've done have shown that for children that live close to busy roadways, that it does have an impact on their health.
Aval says being exposed to busy roads can affect kids' lungs as they grow.
I kind of think of it like, you know, growing a tree in the backyard. If you tie the tree back and tether it, you can change the shape of that trunk as it grows. And that's sort of what happens with children's lungs, for example.
The pollution can keep young lungs from growing. Aval continues with his tree analogy.
For children that grow up in more polluted areas, they don't grow, in a sense, straight and tall in terms of achieving the maximal growth of their lung health. What they do is tend to be a little stunted. They tend to curve and grow. And our concern is that over the course of years, that sort of slight change in the growth trajectory becomes sort of permanent. And we have no information that suggests that they jump up and somehow catch up again.
That's something that worries Tamika. A recent study found that people in Newark were being hospitalized for asthma at a rate that was 2.5 times higher than the rest of the state. That's for all ages.
Living down here, you go to the hospital every other week. It's sad. It's sad. A lot of kids missing school because of asthma.
She's lived on Hawkins Street for 15 years. Tamika also has severe asthma. When she talks, you can hear her struggle. She has a rescue inhaler that she tucks under her pillow. She uses it almost every night. As we talk, Tamika feels like she's running out of breath and gets the inhaler.
When you take it, then I put it on Hella, shake it. You're supposed to take a deep breath in, out. You take this and you suck it in. Hold your breath for a couple of minutes. Then you exhale. And then you take another deep breath. That's how you do that. Go up after that. Go in the bathroom, put some water in your face. Take a deep breath. I try to lay back down at night. This right here is a lifesaver.
Even though the school is convenient, if she could afford it, she says she'd move. Someplace.
Where they go outside and they can run, they can play, come in, eat, take their bath, and go to bed. Not having to take medication every day. That right there is sad. Because sometimes if that medication not doing just enough, you know you gotta make a hospital visit. Who wants an emergency room? As a mother, you see a child not breathing, you be like, why? Why me? What did I do? Did I do something to cause this? But in a real fact, for the parents that are out there, it's not your fault. It's not.
So whose fault is it? Part of the blame, old diesel trucks and what comes out of their pipes, something called ultrafine particles. Research suggests they can slip into the bloodstream, bringing toxic materials with them. At Tayan School, that's the kind of danger he and other students face constantly. Districts across the country face similar problems. Nearly 1 in 5 schools that opened in 2014 was located near a heavily trafficked road.
To just have trucks like this, it's really not good. In this location right here, we did a truck count. Right here, we actually stood a little bit there, and within an hour, 200 to 300 trucks traveled just at this location.
Kim Gaddy is a local environmental activist. We met at one of Newark's busiest intersections. It's about 15 minutes away from Hawkins Street School.
Too many polluting facilities have been allowed to be placed next to schools, next to homes. Too many of the corridors for trucks have been allowed to happen close to our parks, close to our schools. On this block alone, there's probably about 8 different recycling companies. So with recycling companies comes what? Trucks. So you got that sniff. Whew.
What is that?
That is the diesel. That's the pollution. Come on, let's cross the street. You want
to take it? Kim wants me to get a closer look, so we jump in her car and drive out to see what brings all these trucks into the area.
You in?
Yeah.
If you look back here, you see all the port, see? All of the trucks and containers that come from the port. And one block removed, and you see some of the truck industries, companies, but the housing is right here. It's not like it's 3-4 blocks, or it's one block in, see? And this is a house, so it's one block in. And then these are different industries, trucking industries, trading industries. Oftentimes, we don't even know what's coming here. Some of these are painting facilities that are emitting different smells. These are houses. Individuals live right here.
We pass housing projects and another school. The people in this community are mostly African American and Latino. That's something we see happening nationwide. Schools that serve largely minority students are found near busy roads at more than 3 times the rate of schools that serve mostly white students. Most of the trucks that come to Newark serve the port of New York and New Jersey. It's the largest port on the eastern seaboard, and about 9,000 trucks come here each day.
The port is the economic engine for the region, but what it is for us, it's a death zone.
A death zone. Kim would know. She witnessed her brother-in-law die in the street from an asthma attack. She also had a cousin who suffered an attack, made it to the hospital, but died. Kim is Newark born and raised and has asthma herself, as do each of her 3 children.
And so it's very personal to me. We believed Port Authority when they agreed to a ban on the older trucks.
In 2010, the Port Authority said that it would ban trucks built before 2007 because they're dirtier than those built afterwards. That would have meant that trucks passing by Newark schools would have higher environmental standards. But the Port Authority later changed its mind, saying they needed more time to phase in the new rules and money to help truck drivers get new rigs.
I don't have no more room to store nothing.
Oh, this is a big mess that I have here. One step at a time. Okay.
Gabriel Procel owns and drives one of those older, dirtier rigs, built in 1999. He's 58 and has worked as a truck driver for 20 years. Gabriel is short and stocky, with a weathered face covered in stubble. He's wearing faded jeans and a stocking cap pulled low over his forehead. I climb into his rig, and Gabriel shows me part of his route.
Like every morning. This is my second house. I spend at least 12 hours a day in my truck. Are you ready?
Yes.
You have your helmet and your... This is an old truck, so it's very loud, and you know how it is.
I ride shotgun. Gabriel has a cooler tucked at his side with today's lunch. At my feet, a plastic crate with a jumble of cables and spare lights. On the windshield, a sticker of the Virgin of Guadalupe.
There's critics that say that your truck is part of the problem. How would you respond?
When they see big trucks, they see a smog. I can't say nothing. I can't hide it either because I'm a big truck, so I just go as long as nobody says nothing or nobody throws stones to me. I just keep going because I know it's a problem.
Gabriel would like to have a new truck, but he says he needs help from the government to get a loan.
Well, accessible loans to buy trucks, regardless of the credit. If you are a truck driver, you should have access to lower interest loans. That's the only way people can go and buy drugs.
A state lawmaker plans to introduce a bill that would set aside $25 million to help truck drivers like Gabriel. If the bill fails, Gabriel says as an independent contractor, there's no way he could afford to buy a new rig on his own.
This engine has 800,000 miles. It almost gets to the million mile. I stay with this one up to the end of my working days. And I'm going to retire peaceful, knowing that I did move America because everything is delivered by truck. So they should be giving us trucks for free. If they say firefighters and police are heroes, truckers too. Nobody recognizes that.
In the meantime, Gabriel and hundreds of other drivers with older trucks will continue to pass by Hawkins Street, where Tayan Bowers goes to school. His mom, Tamika, says it's time for the community to put a stop to the pollution affecting their kids.
It's up to us to make a change, try to make it different, show them we do matter. You know what I'm saying? Like this right here, we don't have to accept this. But we've been accepting it for far too long because people don't want to come out and speak, opening mouth. So therefore, people, open your mouth. Let's go. Make a change. It's not for me, it's not for you, it's for our children and for our future.
That story from Fernanda Camarena. You can hear how riled up residents like Tamika are. But is anything going to change? To talk about that, let's bring in Jamie Hopkins. She's a reporter at the Center for Public Integrity who partnered with us on today's show. And Jamie, why did you choose to look at this school in Newark?
Yeah, Newark has a lot of schools near busy roads because it has a lot of busy roads. It's right next to New York City. There's a big port there. There's an airport. So there's a lot of sources of transportation pollution in addition to cars and trucks.
You counted around 8,000 public schools near busy roads. How did you define a busy road?
Either a road that gets at least 30,000 total vehicles a day on average, or it has 10,000 plus vehicles a day on it, at least 500 of which are trucks. And that's because diesel, particularly old diesel trucks, are a well-documented problem in terms of air pollution and health impacts. So we wanted to make sure that we could account for these roads that have more trucks, even if they don't meet the 30,000 threshold. We got a really helpful calculation from the Texas A&M Transportation Institute that looks at the typical mix of vehicles on the roads today. And they found that a heavy-duty diesel truck on a highway puts at 63 times the fine particle pollution of a gasoline car.
What about the rest of the country? What was the data you put together on that?
Well, we found schools near busy roads all across the country. You know, more common in big cities, as you would expect, definitely more common in big cities. But you can find it in smaller cities and in suburbs of all sizes, even in rural areas and towns. So this is a nationwide problem. You know, talking to folks, it seems like this is not one that's really on the radar of school systems. They've got so many things to think about. They're not really thinking about the issue of roads and what's coming off the roads.
Why are so many schools located near these busy roads?
Well, it seems like a mix of things. I mean, some folks tell us that cost plays a role, that school districts are looking for the cheapest option, and sometimes that just happens to be the land smack dab by a highway or other source of heavy traffic. Sometimes it's just hard to find land that isn't close to a busy road. Looking at the map of New York City, you can see how it'd be really challenging, for instance. Sometimes a school was built first and the highway came later, but part of the problem seems to be that school officials largely don't seem to realize there is a problem. Traffic pollution is invisible. The decades of research about its effect on people, the measurements showing that it's higher near roads, doesn't seem to be very well known outside of public health circles and environmental health advocates. So if you don't know the air is worse near a busy road, you might see that location as a plus because it's easy to get to. Some of the schools we looked at, what's closest to the road are the playgrounds or the athletic fields, and the air filters in your building won't help there.
Schools that serve largely minority students are found near busy roads more than three times the rate of schools that serve mostly white students. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, we wondered that. And what we found is that where students live is important. And big cities have higher numbers of minority students, lower numbers of white students than, say, the rural areas. But one thing that could get lost in this is the reason why people live where they live is something that is influenced in many ways by decisions that were made decades ago. You know, some of the discriminatory decisions about where people were allowed to live and also where busy roads and highways would be built still seem to be having ripple effects. And we talked to some experts about, you know, how that continues to affect where people live and where they go to school. It's a problem for everybody, but certainly health researchers are more concerned about what this means for kids.
Thanks, Jamie. That's Jamie Hopkins from the Center for Public Integrity. We'll hear more from her later in the show. And right about now, you may be wondering, what's going on with my kid's school?
I think as parents, it's hard for us to recognize that we have placed our children in maybe a place of endangerment when we had the best intentions.
How one mom went on a mission to clear the air at her kid's school. When we come back, this is Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.